Hello, everybody. Welcome to the third day of Discover the Ancient Temple Secrets of Ephesus. This is a four-part client spotlight interview series that I'm leading with my amazing VIP clients who joined me on an unforgettable journey through the ancient city of Ephesus and the Temple of Artemis for their three-day intensive one-on-one VIP retreat with me. And I'm just reliving all these incredible breakthroughs, transformations, and experiences, powerful, profound experiences that my clients had, as well as myself through the experience. And today, I'm excited to be interviewing another one of my beloved clients, my private clients, and so that you can hear how the experience of Ephesus, how this experience, this retreat experience helped them to anchor in their next level mastery, their soul's purpose, their divine calling, as well as help build the next steps, the next levels of their design practice by weaving spirit with architecture, by weaving spirit with design. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I am an architect, alchemical healer, and the creator of the Sacred Blueprint. This is a cutting-edge vessel of courses and programs for women architects and designers, as well as property owners, land stewards, who that guide them through birthing their dream sanctuaries through a new modality that bridges spirit with architecture. For those of you who don't know what Ephesus is an ancient city in the region of Izmir. The old Greek name of Izmir is Smyrna. And it is a mega power place. It's a bridge between East and West. And it was the center of a major mystery school where both priests and priestesses were taught the mysteries. Yes, in those times, it was a select few. And now we are entering into a stage in human evolution where the mysteries are opening up for all. And you will discover along the way keys and codes of these mysteries that will support you in blowing open your creative powers, unleashing your intuition, tapping your feminine magic, and finally coming out of hiding to bring back the big missing piece of the puzzle for architecture, for design, for landscape architecture, interior design, building your sustainable sanctuary, whatever that project, that development looks like, bringing back the story of spirit. And in a way, it's like the East, right? It's the East does represent more of the feminine, more the spirit. The West is more the masculine, more the matter, the physical aspects of our earthly existence. And so the spirit side was forgotten for a long, long time, especially in North America, the Western world. And it is my mission to help you, women architects and designers, to bring that story of the spirit back, the feminine wisdom and magic back into architecture and design. So before I introduce our amazing guest, make sure you stay until the end of this interview. I have a very exciting announcement to share with you. So make sure you stay until the end. Feel free to add in the chat some of your ahas, your takeaways, what landed for you, what excites you. We won't be taking any questions during today's session. feel free to email me by responding to any of the communication coming through, or send me a private message through Instagram if you have any questions. So today's amazing guest, she is one of my private clients. We've been working now together for the third year, and she's also a VIP retreat client. She came all the way from Australia to come and taste and experience the mega power place that is Ephesus, and one of the seven wonders of the world, which is the Temple of Artemis. And she's going to share her experiences on this magical journey and tell us a little bit about what she does and how she bridges spirit with design. Welcoming in Anna Morcombe. So great to have you in this space.
Thank you, Aisha. It's really
very welcome.
with you, across from you. And I love the way you described the journey to the Temple of Artemis. And yeah, it's a magical, powerful place. So looking forward to going into that in this
beautiful
conversation.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, it's an honor to have you in this space. And Anna, would love for you to first share what you're up to. You're in Australia, and you're an architectural designer, also a land healer. Would love to hear what you're up to with your design practice.
Yeah, it's become more focused on the human experience. So from a background of traditional or conventional architectural design, as we're all trained in technical college or university, design is a big part of the shaping of architects and designers. And I often now speak with fellow architects about the way that I come into or approach a design project, and they always seem to reminisce to their uni days, and they're saying things like, oh, I remember when we used to do that in studio, and
right,
oh wow, I love that, but we don't get to do that much anymore. And it is I think it's a big part of the, you know, we're a caring profession, really. Like, we care about the experience of others and the people that we're designing homes for or buildings and places. And to have an opportunity to bring in more of a holistic, grounded, open to spirit, and elevated living experience, like that's the part of the work that excites me. So the studio is looking at ways we can apply feng shui and land energetics into design, interior design as well.
I love it. I love it. I love how you brought back this awareness, like when you're talking to other architects and designers about what you're working on, what you're doing, and the process, this caring process to elevate your client's living experience, right? Elevate the quality of that experience. And they go back to their uni days. So uni is university, or if anyone doesn't understand the abbreviation there. And they're like, oh my God, we used to do stuff like that, right? But we don't do it anymore. In conventional architecture, it's just not done anymore. And they're ending up, slaving in front of the computer, becoming drafting machines, right? Like a technologist, rather than really guiding their clients through a transformative process, right? Where they get to heal in the process of birthing their dream homes or their dream gardens or whatever the program of the project is. And you mentioned feng shui. You are working as a practitioner of feng shui, correct? You want to share a little bit more about how you're weaving that into the picture?
Yeah, I came into studying feng shui in 2017, and it's an ingredient or a tool in my own healing adventure. So what I was wanting to learn was ways to improve the harmony and balance of my own home environment. I think quite often we come from places of disharmony and struggle and challenges that seem insurmountable. So if we just ignore those things, then life becomes very difficult. But by tuning into nature and working with the elements, we can learn more about how the natural elements, in that, whether they're represented in colors or like materials and forms like shapes, or just natural elements like plants and water, like quite literally we can bring more flow and freedom into our environment, which can create more soothing and calming places to live. So yeah, that's been my learning journey for the last quite a few years, and wanting to share that with my clients now to help. It really is about personal growth when you start to address some of these underlying challenges within the environment and within your larger surroundings. Like doing a new build or a renovation, you can leverage that and completely change your situation.
Yeah, completely change your situation. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's true. We know so many of us come from, a place of, a lot of people come from a place of disharmony, either maybe a dysfunctional family relationship, unbalanced homes, maybe living in situations where they're not giving themselves the nourishment that they need. And how blessed are they to have you as a guide, as a mentor, to take them through this process. I always remember when I was working at various firms. I've worked in various firms internationally for many years before I started my own architecture practice in Turkey, in Izmir, actually. That there were so many moments, especially with the house projects, where we would have internal meetings with, let's say, the associates or the project team, and then there would always be moments like, are we their psychologist or are we their architect? You know, like the architect always has this moment like, okay, wait a second. Am I trying to save their marriage or am I actually, trying to design a house for them? And it was so clear that to me, it started to really land in those moments like, aha, there's a missing piece here. There's a missing piece. People are not, because architects often just don't want to get into that, deal with being people's psychologists or do any kind of deep healing work, which is understandable, right? Like they don't, that's not their qualification. So I really appreciate what you're doing, Anna, and I'm witnessing it in how you are guiding your clients now through this deep process that helps them to awaken to this joy, their joy, their full, right? Their full human potential and what they're capable of doing in this life in their unique, right? Astrological configuration of family, relationships, business, and their environment, right? And the land. Everyone, I also just want to boast about Anna. She's an incredible dreamer. She has such powerful dreaming gifts, and spirit speaks through her in her dreams. And she's starting to weave this in to her design practice. The dream world. Yes. That's another aspect that is just incredible. One of your amazing gem gifts.
One of life's mysteries, that one.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Feminine. It's certainly the feminine aspect blooming and working through you and helping you to serve your clients. Yeah. Amazing. So tell us about Ephesus and your experience. So you came all the way, you took a big bold step and bought a ticket to fly all the way from Australia to Turkey. Yeah.
Right after I was saying, no, don't need to travel this year.
Yeah.
No plans for travel. And then I get this invitation. The invitation in itself is bold because you know I'm in Australia.
Yeah. I didn't shy away from that. Yeah.
And I had not been to that part of the world before, but the essence of Turkey had been like filtering into my consciousness for already almost a year.
Mm.
And like since we started working together.
Yeah.
But in other ways, like picking up a book in a bookstore in Melbourne, and it was about the border life and how, you know, these countries that are so closely together, have located so closely together, have all influenced each other. And then the food, like recipes, just kept arriving in trying some traditional Turkish recipes. The food's really good.
It is really good. Yeah. So I'm hearing that the journey already began, right? With these little hints and
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. Invitation was there. And to me it was like an opportunity to have an adventure, really. I felt that I didn't have to have big expectations of what I needed from the experience or from the place, or, you know, if I go there, I'm going to gain from it in this way. I just went with an open mind and an open heart I was excited to meet you, and I knew I'd be joining up with you and having a great time no matter what happened. And to learn more about the ancient architecture, the way we lived so many thousands of years ago, which is so much of this is forgotten, but to be in places there, you know, there's traces of, I don't know, memory could come alive if you delve in and just sit with it and ask questions. And there's much to explore. If you don't go, you don't know.
Like, yeah,
I was sitting here in my office going, should I go? And it was like, if you know, you can't help people sitting here in your office. Got to get out there and do things.
Yeah. I love that. You can't help people sitting in your office. And it's so great. It's so funny that you had already decided in your mind that you weren't going to do any more travel. And then I asked you to, I invited you to join. And in the boldness of that, you said, oh, okay, I'm up for an adventure. And look at what's opened up through that experience. I'd love to hear, what were some of the most powerful experiences when you connected with the Temple of Artemis, when you connected with the ancient city of Ephesus? I remember you having some pretty deep experiences also with some spaces in the Church of Mary, which was built later, closer to in the Byzantium period, I believe, in the ancient city of Ephesus. And then also St. John's Basilica. That was amazing. And yeah, all these experiences, you know, what did it help shift in you, Anna? What opened up for you as a result of these experiences?
Yes, some of it was mind-blowing. And I was also faced with some challenges to address. It's not a place that invites you to stay small. But one of the messages that I was awoken to while I was there was just be. So it really, that was like, I found that quite comforting, that such a important place historically and spiritually was so accepting, like, of who you are as an individual. Like, that's all that matters, just be. And I think we quite often don't let ourselves just be who we are and try to be things that we're not meant to be. And so it's brave as well to just be. So yeah, it's that like feminine nurturing is like quite that's like the mother aspect, isn't it? Like a powerful mother.
Oh, I'm just getting shivers, because I remember that powerful moment where, yeah, you were going through some, like, meeting some edges, some thresholds within your shadow, within your being, that were making you uncomfortable, that were challenging you, challenging both your physical body as well as your emotional body. And I could see that Artemis and the temple and the spirit of the land was holding space for you. And I remember receiving the message, like, just wait, she's getting there. She's there, staying quiet, right? And then this profound moment where you got this such a pure message, just be. Mm-hmm. Just be. And it's so simple. It's so simple. And yet, just like what you're saying, is that so many of us forget that, right? That we can just be and be accepted. These are sacred sites, ancient sites that were, you know, where the ancient mysteries were practiced, and people could refer to them right now from this perspective as paganism, right? But there's just this essence that there, from what you're sharing with me and what I learned through you, that just dissolves all of that. You know, monotheism, you know, it dissolves all the religions, dissolves it down to, yeah, the heart of just being, and that mother essence that you're talking about.
I think there's it's kind of like an essence of purity that's related to the now, because going to that old place doesn't mean you're going back in time, or you're going to visit, you know, the rituals of the past or anything like that. It's now. We are now. And yeah, it's it was selected for a reason. I don't know what the story is there. And humanity has shaped it with their own energy in their own way as well, through respect.
Exactly. And yeah.
And different things. Oh, don't know either, but yeah, to go there and just stand in that landscape and just be, there you go, just be, just yeah. be receptive to, yeah, what is the impression for you now? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, just be receptive for the impression for you now. And that it actually doesn't have to do with recreating past rituals, past traditions, that it's about the now and about you.
Yeah. Yeah.
When it came to the energies there, in your journeys, whether it's in the Temple of Artemis or or Ephesus, how are you sensing energies there? How are you aware of the presence of earth energies or energies of the sacred sites? Do you remember any moments there?
Yeah, it was interesting because you mentioned about dreaming, and that was the first sort of essence or introduction that I had to some of the meaning behind the excursion. You know, it was weaving the story of my travel there and some of the significant events that were going on outside my, you know, my story. There was actually references to the environment around where we were staying. We were hearing like the gunshots from the farmers in the mountains with the wild boar, and you know, things like that were like dotted into my dreams a couple of nights before I arrived, as well as what was seeing myself tending to sacred space. So that was an introduction to show me how this practice of tending to sacred space is something that's important for being clear and grounded and sort of like in command of your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And really setting the scene for visiting the temple. If you think about it, you don't just go to the temple like hungover or like messy. You can.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll still accept you as well, but
I mean, if you want to like have a really good time, you might want to have a shower or like say your prayers or something before you go. Like do it with what is it, awareness and purpose is what I'm trying to get at. So when I arrived there, you were guiding me into taking my time to move around the temple site, and so I went barefoot for a wander around, and I think being grounded is a really nice way to start. And just observing the different aspects of what's going on in the surroundings. So there was like planes flying over, and by tuning into what I'm seeing and what it means for me, I can start to build a connection to the place that I'm in, because I'm so far from home right now. This is me there. I'm like, I've got to have a good reason for being here. Otherwise, this is a waste of time. Like, I've been pretty harsh on myself in saying that, but it was a way for me to get present really quickly.
Mm. Yeah.
What are you seeing? What does it mean? What does it mean? What is this telling you? And I started seeing a lot of like what I interpreted as like warning signs.
Yeah.
So little tiny things just to add a touch of caution into how I was treading and the directions that I was taking around the temple site. And I arrived at what was the entry, where the steps are into the main or the center of the temple.
Yeah.
And there was a hive of wasps. Or were they bees? I can't remember now.
They were wasps. Yeah.
Yeah, they were wasps. So yeah. Me trusting everything sits next to the the wasp hive. And yeah, so the warning, you know, there's an element of danger in doing all of these things. It's, you know, it's not just simply pleasantries. Like,
yeah,
there are risks to going deep in spirit.
Yeah,
you have to do it with willingness, I guess, and awareness, and there's responsibility is what I'm trying to say. Yeah,
so like take the shower before.
Yeah, personal responsibility. That's what I was getting. So, so, yeah. And I kind of had the choice whether I wanted to go into that experience deeper and find out what, you know, what within my shadow was telling me to take it easy and don't go there. But I took it as an opportunity for growth and to say, yeah, I sense that, you know, this could be dangerous and I'm going to find out through time, experience, more listening, what that means for me. But right here, I'm now here to be here. And so I stepped inside and yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it
you
was,
stepped in a very, one of the most powerful, power spots, you could say, portals of the temple. Yeah, continue. I'm just giving a bit more of a context for others. Yeah.
Without having like an energetic map of the temple footprint.
Yeah.
It was like a free flow, just going with what I was aware of and what I was sensing and
yeah,
tuning into the land in that way, in a very like organic, intuitive way. But you've done a little bit more time there and are more familiar with some of the energy centers, I guess. So you could observe where I was.
Yeah, moving. And each time I go, I discover something new. And so it's still a mystery. Yeah.
Yes.
Especially when I take other women there. Yeah. So continue. So you entered that center.
Yeah. And yes, that was just the place to settle in and acknowledge the experience. And you were watching from the outside and noticed that there was like a space created, because there's also tourists that come and go and they might be wandering through the site. While we were there was a space, like people
So normally, like, either you'll get some tourists, it's not so crowded there, but you will get tourists, and some of them choose to stay up on a higher ridge and just kind of gaze over the temple grounds, and then they get back onto their tour bus and go. Some of them will actually walk around. But what I noticed, what Anna is sharing with you all, is that it was the synchronicities were just incredible with you. Artemis, I noticed that the goddess of the temple, the energies there, made it very quiet for her. Made it very quiet and opened up the space so that she wasn't confronted with too many people. None, actually, zero. There was no one there. No one there. Yeah.
How great, because I find distractions really distracting.
Yeah.
So I was able to, you know, meditate and just quietly and just be there with the birds.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And is that when you receive the message, just be?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I chosen to accept the challenge, step into the experience, and then I was allowed to just be.
Yeah.
A treat.
Yeah. Such a treat. Such a treat.
And then it resonated with the journey as well at the retreat center we were staying at. Their message to their guests and their tagline is the art of being.
Yeah, it's just like, it's so perfect. Yeah. You'll see that on their website, the Ephesus retreat website. Yeah. The magic of being or something, right? The magic of being or just being. Yeah.
I was thinking about that in contrast to, you know, the masculine and feminine aspects and the polarity there, you know, compared to doing, you know.
Absolutely. That is a really good observation and realization. Yeah. Which is what we've been, I mean, I grew up in Toronto, born and raised in Toronto. Went to school at Waterloo, just outside of Toronto. Anyway, North American, basically, grew up as a North American. And it's so much about doing, so much about doing. And, you know, now it's like in places where you just be and you still have that essence here in Turkey, very rarely will someone buy a to-go cup from, let's say, Starbucks or something, and walk with the coffee and walk and get somewhere to, because they're in a rush to go and do something, right? We sit down, we have the cup of coffee with, you know, a normal cup, and we sit down and enjoy the coffee, right? So that image came up, you know, doing rather than just being. The being is very much the feminine, right? It's the being in that receptive mode, having the bowl open, right? The bowl open is a term that a human design mentor of mine, Connor Sauer, I don't want to take people's quotes and yeah. So it's Connor Sauer who says this, you know, the emptying of the bowl process is very much feminine. And yet, the just being also somehow is like a sweet spot between the masculine and the feminine. What do you think, Anna? There's a kind of...
There's a lot of potential there.
Yeah.
Because that's where you can find your true direction and your true power. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And for you, can you name that true direction, that true power, those... that you gathered through just being and communing and connecting with this temple.
It was kind of like a diving in the deep end experience for me. I found it very emotional. I received or went into visualization while I was standing in the temple, I guess, yeah, being witnessed there,
yeah,
and then stepping out and reflecting on the experience immediately after. I actually became quite emotional about it. Because it had challenged some of my, you know, views or constructs, or it had challenged my sense of not knowing. Not really knowing 100% what was going on. And like, actually, I probably didn't really need to know, because knowing is not really being either, is it? That's an intellectual thing.
It is. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I found I connected in such a peaceful way to the baptism centers, the spaces that were built for baptism at the Basilica of St. John and Mother Mary's church, which was closer.
I'm already feeling the energy of those places as you share it with your words. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just attached to the side of the really impressive churches, there were these octagonal, like very symmetrical rooms, with beautiful geometries, and then the well of baptism in the center of each one. And I think I was really just attracted to the energy there. I found very uplifting, and to stand in those spaces on the second day when we visited Ephesus and walked through the busy city center of the of the Roman Empire. I was a bit overwhelmed by it all after.
Yeah, and there were much more people too, right? Yeah.
And you could just sort of like see that this was a really happening place, and, you know, economic and political and just full on. So we, by the end of the walk that day, had arrived at Mother Mary's church, and it was, I love being in the countryside. So this was just tucked out of the way.
Yeah. Most people even kind of forget about it or don't even know it exists. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a real heart opener. We'll just say that. Yeah.
Big time. Yeah. Yeah. Real heart opener. Yeah. Yeah, those spaces are really special too. And the baptism well was, you know, like dug below the surface. So you're not actually climbing into a baptism basin. You are actually going under the surface of the earth. And I remember you connecting so powerfully there. Mm-hmm. And I could feel very palpably the opening up of your heart as I was kind of wandering around the external octagonal space, and also within. There was this moment where it was like, I could feel Anna, your heart, blow open, and it rippled out into the landscape and through me and touched me and connect and opened up my heart as well. These power spots and blind springs that are found as in the landscape below the architecture, the spaces, the rooms of these churches and basilicas. Some are existing before, and the geomancers would douse for these power spots and ley lines, and they would determine the orientation of the building based on these lines. But because also they're using very sacred technologies, like sacred geometry technologies, that those also start to create power spots as well. It's like the chicken and egg story. It's like, what came first? But there's definitely an amplification of the blind spring that was there, and the power spot, and amplifying this complete divine union between masculine and feminine, right? And more. I mean, even just talking too much and trying to explain it all is kind of like, it's so much more than what I just said. It was really beautiful to witness you in those spaces and feel those shifts in you palpably as well. Yeah. Yeah. Incredible. Yeah. I mean, there's just those buildings move the energy, the chi, right? Through the spaces in a remarkable way. And the roofs aren't even on the spaces either, Anna. You know, like we're walking through ruins without proper roofs. They've been, you know, they were broken down by nature long ago. So yeah,
open to the sky.
Yeah, yeah. And so Anna, as you know, you went through a lot of deep transformations and breakthroughs, and upon your return in Australia, what did you leave with, and how were you able to incorporate this into your way of being and practicing design and building your business?
Yeah, I did take something with me from my visit to Ephesus. And it started off as a symbol that I didn't really understand the meaning of. I thought it was just like a marker point on a map saying that you are here now. But it was actually something that meant to me that I am a valuable human being, like I am worthy and I am protected, like I'm loved and special. So it was knowing that I'm seen, God loves me, and I'm special. And I took that home with me. That knowing that, yeah, it's like God will look after me and I'm safe with that. So I guess if I remember that every day, then I can do anything with it, really.
Yeah,
it's a big message that's yeah, my memo.
Yeah, that you can keep, yeah, for an entire lifetime and beyond, to help to support you every single step of the way. It's so profound. I'm a valuable human being. I'm protected. I'm loved. God loves me and I'm special.
Yeah.
I also remember, Anna, that your rebellious side came out too, like the one who's just like feisty and fiery. And I remember doing these, like, we did this organic land telepathy exercise from the retreat center to determine where we were going to go first. And she came out, and, you know, the goddess Artemis was the goddess of the region. And so she's still quite present. As an energy there. It was the goddess of Ephesus, and she was celebrated. And I think she had a part in that too, to help you, you know, to fire up that, you know, those, the rebel within you, the leader within you. Yeah.
That's really about the expression, like the true expression of who I am, and not hiding that anymore. And
yeah,
really just leaving behind the old ways that were never meant for me to be anyway, and just, yeah, unleashing my true self.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. And you had a sign upon your return, a big synchronistic sign upon your return. And I've received this photo from you and my jaw dropped. I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. Want to share that?
to look twice as I was walking. I was walking around Fremantle and I'd gone to the Officeworks store to get some pens or paper or something. And the way out was past Fremantle Port. And I was like, yeah, I'll go that way. And right in front of me was this massive blue ship. And on the side was the name of it, Artemis Leda.
Yeah. I mean, the vessel, massive ship, right? Yeah.
Yeah, right. Right smack bang in like the pathway right in front of me. Yeah, right in my face.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was like, that can't be ignored.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely need to journal that moment. Yeah. That was just that for me, for you. I mean, what it was like, okay, it's anchored, right? Ship has its anchor too. I think it was anchored, right? As well. It was in its parked position. And that's like anchoring in Anna's leadership, anchoring in her fire, her power, her knowing that she is a valuable human being. Anchoring in that wisdom of just being and marking the transition into her new self.
Yeah. Recognizing my true power as my authentic being. So
amazing, Anna. I mean all these images of the many more synchronicities that we both receive throughout the journey are just incredible. They're like this, and then there's this string of events that led you to that point of seeing the Artemis leadership and receiving that message that God loves you and you're special, and you know, doing everything from making this bold act of traveling all the way to Turkey, a place that you've never been before. Such an honor to hold space for you and this epic adventure of yours.
Thank you. Yeah, such a beautiful, compassionate, adventurous guide to be walking with to one of these special places that you've connected with and are sharing now with your special people.
Yeah. I feel that receiving it. There's something also I want to ask about today. Today is a very special day. It's February 10th and it's the mark of the beginning of the new year in I think Chinese astrology, correct? Yeah. Feng Shui, yeah. And everyone's talking about this dragon, Anna. If we're moving into the dragon year, and I think the element is wood. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Do you want to share with listeners?
Let's do it.
A little bit, of what that's about and what they can expect this year. And does the dragon continue the following year or is it just for 2024?
Yeah, so today's the Chinese New Year for the lunar cycle, 2024, the year of the wood dragon. And next year we'll have a new astrological animal sign and element. But this year is in the yang quality of the element, and the dragon is a yang animal as well. So it'll be a lot more active, a lot more outgoing, and a lot more events happening. Whereas last year we had the yin water rabbit. So that was a gentler year, a time for people to recuperate, rest, recover, restore. And this year is a lot more energetic. And if we look at the year pillar for the Bazi chart, which is the astrological chart of this year, it can give a full comprehensive sense of the dynamic of the year in terms of like seasons as well.
Mm-hmm.
And all things like relationships, power and prosperity and all kinds of things. But if we just look at the year pillar, it's sort of like a sense or a taste of an overarching kind of influence or theme.
Mm.
And so we have the Yang Wood, which sits over the Yang Earth Dragon. And we look at the dynamic between the element of wood and earth. And they're actually in conflict with each other. So the wood controls the earth element, which is quite more of a, I think of it like more of intention with each other. So rather than being a harmonious relationship where things are peaceful, it's challenging and there's tensions. But these are opportunities for us to learn and grow.
Mm.
If we're not challenged, then we just stay the same. So having these dynamics throughout time, and sometimes we might sit in a challenging dynamic for a 10-year cycle within our own life story. But for this year, it's about the wood breaking through the earth to change things.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, yeah, without going into a lot of personality traits of the dragon, we look at the dragon's behavior as well, who's good in business and, you know, likes to be at the front of goings on. And that could be very interesting this year.
Yeah. I trust that dragon impulse, that dragon energy, and the wood that wants to break through the earth impulse will support women architects and designers like us, Anna, right? To build up the courage to take on the challenge, just like you did upon approaching the center of the Temple of Artemis. So it's like challenge accepted.
To make the change.
Time to make the change. Time to move from the place of just waiting for the stars to align, which is something we tend to do as women. Oh, it's not the full moon yet. Oh, it's not, you know, time according to my astrology, or the stars need to align in a certain way, or I'm not feeling it. No. I'll speak on behalf of the dragon. No. If you're hearing the call and if you're really feeling the tingles and the shivers, I invite you to take this bold step and cross over into this new way of working that is aligned with your soul and heals you, heals your body, heals your mind, your heart, and helps you to build the future architecture, the architecture of the new earth, which we so need urgently on this planet right now. People are in so much need of this, of being held, right? Like Anna started out in the beginning of today's interview, sharing what she does, holding space for her clients every step of the way to see the areas of possible imbalance in their life and how it's directly related to their environments and the land and their home, right? Because we're over and done with the era of mere building of beauty or things that are just aesthetic, just because we want to please others or because it looks good or because other people have it. now we're moving into an era, right, where we want to build our soul's temples. Sure, maybe not the entire population of the earth is concerned with this. And we know that there are others that are much more unfortunate than us that are looking to just survive day to day, right, with the most minimal shelter. And that's why I've built the sacred blueprint and building this business so that I can contribute to my cause and support communities and organizations that are helping people like this. So your businesses will and can spread light on this planet. Some of you are, you know, freaking scared to ask for money for spiritual work. And this is the kind of support that I provide my private clients to help move through these kinds of blocks, so that you can actually take your stand as a responsible builder and steward of this earth. And share your magic, because if you're not sharing your magic, I consider it to actually be selfish. I know it's maybe even bold, it's bold to say this, but I'm a bold woman. It's selfish to hold back your gifts. So dragon power, wood power. Thank you, Anna, for sharing some more detail about this, because it's going around, you know, in social media, the wood dragon is coming and all that, right? But, you know, we need educators like you to teach us exactly what that's about. And I know that you probably have a lot more information to share about that. It's a detailed topic, I realize, but thank you for giving the overview of what to expect in this year. Thank you. So women, I have an amazing, exciting announcement. I have opened the doors for my VIP group retreat in the ancient city of Ephesus, and I'm curating a select constellation of women architects and designers. You may be a developer, you may be a landscape architect, an interior designer, all fits into that category. Those all fit into the category of architect and designer, in case you're wondering. I'm curating this select constellation of women, and they are from different parts of the world, and we will be communing and gathering together at this power place, this beautiful power place, and an amazing retreat center with incredible food and an amazing view and a swimming pool and beautiful meditation halls and spaces. We are gathering in May, and you have it's all included. I'll send you the link right now with all the program details of what's included in the investment. And this is for you who are really hearing the call to bridge spirit with form and to finally come out of hiding and speak your truth and fully express what your soul has really come here to do on this planet. Realign your body, realign your goals, your mission, and help lay the foundations for your prospering spirit-led design practice within this container of kindred women. The group work is so powerful. I mean, there's nothing like it. And so your goals and your visions for maybe even birthing a new design modality will come down crystal clear within this container, and you'll be well held for the healing work that needs to occur in order to do that. So I'm so excited. I'm so excited. It's one of the most beautiful places in the world. And it is my absolute honor and delight to hold space for you there. So now an application is required. I'm going to send here, just for those of you who are listening in live, I'm sharing a link where you can sign up for the program details. You'll get a PDF, and at the end of the PDF, there's a button to click on, and you'll be directed to the application form. So make sure you fill out that application if you are really resonating with this and want to be a part of this VIP group. Fill out your application before February 15th, that's in 5 days, to benefit from an early bird discount. So make sure you get that application in. Now, applying doesn't mean you're committing yet, and it also doesn't mean that you'll be accepted. I'm wanting to make sure that this is that it's a constellation that is the most aligned for the highest good of all. And I look forward to seeing you there. So everyone, make sure before we close this webinar that you copy paste the link and you get your applications in. Let's do this. Let's make magic at the ancient temples of Ephesus. Anna, it was so great to hear from you and your experiences in Ephesus again. I relived everything, all that you went through, and the joy and the fun and the adventure that we had together. So I'm so grateful that you came in and shared with the listeners here today.
That was great to relive the experience. Such good memories. Yeah.
Yeah, such good memories. All right, everybody, it was wonderful to hold space for you today. And do email me or send me a private message through Instagram if you have any questions about the VIP retreat. And make sure you copy paste that link and get your applications in. Go for it. I look forward to seeing you in the group. Everyone, copy paste that link now that it's gone through to you. Anna, so great to have you again in this space, and I will see you soon for our session next week or the week after, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll wish the group happy travels.
All right.
An amazing time. Thank you.
Yay. All right. Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.